80s, 90s, and 2000 vibes. We're here on a special Patreon episode, and we got a special guest, my guy Fidel. Say what's up to the people.
What's going on, y'all, man? It's your boy Nickelosian.
They call me Nickadolian. Leon, see how I did that?
I see you, boss.
We also got Jamar and Matt. Jamar and Matt in the building, 80s, 90s, and 2000 vibe podcast. What's up, y'all?
Yo, what's happening?
I was always glad to be here with y'all. I know what's up.
Yeah. Hey, so today we're going to be talking about it's going to be a special episode. We're going to be talking about Nickelodeon. Obviously, we have Fidel, and we want to talk about SplatCon, the upcoming convention we're going to have out here in the LA area around November. So make sure you guys follow the SplatCon on Instagram. But before we get into to Nickelodeon real quick, I just want to ask everybody what y'all think, because Nickelodeon is deep on these sports. Y'all know Nick Gas was a thing, games and sports back in the day. I was actually on the field for the Home Run Derby where in the 2000s. And this was, who is that? Mark McGwire versus, what's the guy that changed his face?
Sammy Sosa.
Sammy Sosa. yeah. Who changed his face. I was out there in Boston. Nick Gas put me on the field. And I wanted to ask you guys how you guys felt about these 70 and 60 point performances that have been going down in the NBA. Is going down right now.
Man, Paul Pierce hating again. Like, we just talked about Paul Pierce in the last podcast episode, talking about they don't play no defense in the NBA. Man.
Wait, Fidel, are you a Boston fan? Celtics?
I don't watch sports. That's why I got six combo.
Okay, man. Paul Pierce tweeted some hating shit. Man, look, man, if you couldn't score 70, just say that, dog. God damn.
Oh, wait, he hated on the 70 points? I didn't even see
because
that.
you know this week everybody been going crazy with the 60-point, 70-point games all this year, right? Period. He tweeted talking about, man, the defense in the NBA. Man, nobody asked you, son. Nobody cares, bro. What you think, bro? Yeah, fuck.
5%. I just want to throw that out there. Bro shot better than my mind play on 70 points. So you can't say it's no defense. Like, bro, efficient. Oh yeah.
Exactly. And talking about defense, man. Kobe dropped 81 on that defense back in that era. Better stop.
Man.
And I had to bring that up just because we did talk about Paul Pierce on the last episode. Make sure you guys check that out. And that was all in context of him. Who was he hating on? Oh, he was hating on Udonis Haslem.
Of all people.
And the Heat. He just a hater. So, yeah, definitely make sure you check out that as well. And I'm sure we'll be talking about Kobe on an upcoming episode just based on all these performances somehow seem linked to Kobe. And obviously he just had the death of his memorial. Or the anniversary of his death, excuse me. Let's get into Nickelodeon, though. I don't want to spend no extra time on sports right now, because that's what the real pod is about. Today, we're going to be ranking our top three Nickelodeon shows. And, you know, this is 80s, 90s, and 2000 vibes, so we come from a nostalgic point of view, for sure. But we're going to always consider the new shows, even older than our era of the 80s. Well, Nickelodeon started about in the 90s. It don't go too much older than that. So we'll definitely be incorporating all of that. But before we get into that, I do want to ask you guys some questions just about Nickelodeon. And just so we can kind of lead up into our top three, so people know, you know, how we came to this top three. What was the first moment you guys had with Nickelodeon, or your first favorite show, the moment you fell in love with Nickelodeon content? Because it was big. It was big, y'all. Fidel, I'm going to start with you, man.
For me, it was Rugrats. Since the Rugrats. My parents used to buy me the puzzles.
Tommy Pickles, huh?
Dances, everything. Yeah, it came from. You know what it is? I was this little small kid with messy hair and glasses. So they used to call me Chucky. And my father just bought, and then my little brother, he was a little bald headed kid. So he was Tommy. And then they just bought everything Tommy and Chucky. Like, I remember my room being all rug-ratted up prior to this.
Wow. Okay. Man. That's dope. That's dope. Jamar, you kind of told us before we hopped on, Jamar. You caught a little boo thing off Nickelodeon.
Nah, yeah, uh-huh. Kindergarten.
I missed
man.
This story.
It was love at first, Nick, bro. It was real rash for me too. Even though it don't have nothing to do with my ranking earlier, later on in this episode, it was definitely real rash, bro. I wasn't a baby, but I was a kid, And the Rugrats was closest thing to like, oh shit, that small kid. It's something about Rugrats. And I think because Rugrats been around, I would say before SpongeBob, Rugrats was the most iconic, recognizable Nickelodeon show. So that was the first show I was put on like, and I've been a Nickelodeon fan ever since.
Nah, yeah, I like what you said, Jamal. I was going to say, yeah, for me, SpongeBob actually is the one, mainly because I was 5 when it dropped. So to your point, yeah, Rugrats, if I'm not mistaken, came out like even before we both was born. But again, most
1990.
Right, most iconic show for a while. But SpongeBob, when it came out, it was like I didn't even click that he was a grown man. So for me, I'm like, man, this is a kid, a sponge, and there's just so much, you know what I mean, nonsense, if you will, but it's funny going on under the water. And then, you know what I mean, our parents, I feel like at least mine and people around, they enjoy SpongeBob because it was like, you know, the jokes now that I'm a little older, they definitely had some adult moments. It was like, if you catch it, you're like, oh yeah, they was on some shit.
Oh, so. Yeah. Some freaks wrote SpongeBob. I don't care what nobody says.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And for me, it was actually all of that. You know, I'm born in 86. I'm a little bit older than most of y'all on this call. So, you know, I definitely love Rugrats though. Rugrats was fire. I probably would say I was more into Looney Tunes at that time though, because, you know, they was busting ass. You know what I'm saying? Yosemite Sam was capping people. Like, it was some real fights over there. Bugs Bunny was tricking people out they socks. But as far as like real live television, what Kenan and Kel was doing, and obviously I ended up being on all that, but they were a real life motivation for me. So that was kind of the beginning for me. Now we already on the good spectrum, going all the way to the bad spectrum. What ruined Nickelodeon in your mind, Fidel? We're gonna start with you, like, because obviously we've seen a huge decline. I mean, even the same thing for Disney Channel though, because Disney Channel was the rival at the time. I don't think kids are watching Disney Channel today like they were back then, and certainly they're not watching Nickelodeon the way they used to watch it when we were kids and coming up. What would you say would be the downfall, if anything?
SpongeBob.
Oh, SpongeBob was
the decline of Nickelodeon.
Oh man.
Once they leaned it all in on SpongeBob.
You mean old SpongeBob, or you know, yeah.
Yeah, the first 5 seasons was fire.
All of it. Wow, that's a hot
take. It's a hot take since it came out. It's a hot take right now. Yeah, go ahead, Fidel. Explain yourself.
Yeah, SpongeBob ruined Nickelodeon, man. That all the shows started to be too much like his show. They all went after that humor.
That's fair.
So, like, the cat dogs and all that, that's what you're saying? Like, the Thornberries and all that? Is that what you're
saying?
Yeah,
that used to have its own unique flavor. After SpongeBob, everything was just like SpongeBob. Gumbo and all of them, just like SpongeBob.
Now, the first 5 seasons, though? The first 5 seasons?
You're not a SpongeBob fan, Fidel?
I hated him since the first episode.
He hated him. Oh, you hated him. Got it. Okay. Because, yeah, I'm not too big on SpongeBob myself, so I get it. But I do see the humor in it. What would you say, Jamar, if you could see a huge downfall in Nickelodeon content? I know puberty. You ain't going to say SpongeBob. What would you say?
Puberty.
Yeah, true.
The audience saying, just outgrew the content, huh?
Yeah, bro. But all right. I hear a lot of people say that SpongeBob, 99, around 299, 2000 when it started declining. I get it, right? But Nickelodeon had some great shows after that. After that, you had Fairly Odd Parents debut, Jimmy Neutron.
Oh, yeah.
A couple other shows, bro, but All Grown Up was a decent show to me, as told by Ginger. I can go on and on, dog. Like, but
Teenage Robot, yeah. Chalk.
Right. Chalk Zone, right. But it's just, we got older, bro. In 2004, I'm 11. So I'm a preteen. So I'm starting to like different stuff. Like, I'm starting to like, I still watch Nickelodeon, but I'm starting to like sports more, right? I'm starting to go outside and play more. Even though I played outside when I was younger as a kid, I'm starting to ride bikes, starting to like girls a little bit more. It wasn't Nickelodeon, it was me. Because like I said, like Matt can contest it, is they still made great shows after the year 2000. I would say by the time I got to middle school, high school though, around 05, 06, 07, that's when I was like, what is this? I'm good. You could tell SpongeBob had changed, the writers had changed, it was just something different about SpongeBob after that first movie. But mostly, bro, it was me. I was getting older. I was becoming a man, a young man, a teenager. Now I just wasn't feeling Nickelodeon no more. But as I got older, I came back to it. Like when I was like late teen, 19, 20, I was just curious one day. And I just watched Nickelodeon one day. I was like, man, this ain't it. I don't know if this ain't it. Or my humor has changed. Or I'm just a grown man now. So because when I was a kid, and I don't mean to be long-winded, my parents thought what I watched was whack. Like, Jamal, what the hell is this? That's a talking sponge? Like, they thought that shit was stupid.
That was whack.
I'm being honest, bro, but that's every generation. But my mom did love the Rugrats. I'm not even going to lie. She was like, hey, on. She was like, why is head shaped like that? You see what I'm saying? It's just a right. generational thing. But I just got
old. Gerald had a long-ass head, too. His damn self. Come on, Gerald.
Since Marge had the same head.
Yeah, she did. Hey, what would you say, though, Matt?
Honestly, to me, I think it comes down to just for whatever reason, and maybe y'all can attest to this too, this generation of kids, like what Jamal said, when they was 10, 11, whatnot, their interests are so different. I feel like Nickelodeon just didn't do a great job at captivating that because to y'all point, yeah, while like Fidel's point, he may feel like SpongeBob is the downfall. It's like, it was also enough, you know, for a whole generation of kids were inspired, whereas now I don't even hear kids debating about, you know, which Nickelodeon show sucks versus this one. It's just so, you know, they watching reality TV. They just doing something.
On YouTube, right.
Even being outside, I feel like we was outside. These kids ain't even necessarily outside. They're just doing so many other things. Like I said, they may be, quote unquote, too mature for it. So I just feel like, yeah, to Nickelodeon, this just was never a bridging the gap to understand that audience.
Yeah, I mean, and for me, I wouldn't even blame it on the Nicktoons. I think the Nicktoons did well, even if you add in shows like, you know, Avatar. You know, I wasn't too big on SpongeBob, but even like, you know, the Fairly Odd Parents and stuff like that has been, you know, great shows and also very critically acclaimed. I really would blame it on the live action shows because I never watched the Victorious. I never watched the iCarly, a Zoey right. 101. I know who was in it, but I don't know nothing about these people. I barely watched any of the new All That's. Like, so I would say to me, the live action and creating those stars, like, there's no Kenan and Kel from that era. Would it be Jamie Lynn Spears?
Drake and Josh. That's Drake and Josh.
It is Drake and Josh.
By the time I got to high school, I would say maybe by the time I hit freshman year, iCarly, Drake and Josh, Victoria, shows like that was popping. And what's the other show, man? With the boy band.
Declassified and
Naked Brothers Band.
Not the Naked Brothers Band, the other one, man. They made a song
boy with band, the Jonas Brothers?
The Garcia?
Big Time. Big Time Rush.
Oh, yeah, Big Time Rush.
I didn't watch that. I ain't gonna lie. I didn't watch that.
Kiki Palmer had a show on Nick. Little JJ,
Just Jordan.
Okay, I caught a couple Jordan. Of Just Jordans.
The Romeo show, the Nick Cannon show, like they still show. Had shows.
Trash, no disrespect.
What?
Romeo show?
Garbage. You serious?
Man. Garbage.
That's my shit.
Yeah, I got some hot takes today. It's all good though. But now, when I was in high school, those shows were decent, bro. Like I would come home from practice or something, and I thought, man, the fuck Nickelodeon got on. And I catch an iCarly show episode. I'm like, man, this show kind of funny. So I think the 2000, the early to late 2010, 2000s, they still had a little bit of juice left. I think iCarly, Big Time Rush was the last crop of great, you know what I'm saying, sitcoms.
And of course, those shows were great shows, actually. They were very successful. People love them. I'm just saying for me and what I was used to, I didn't feel like they birthed the same stars that all that. Obviously, Kenan and Kel, you know, going on to do Good Burger. It wasn't that, you know, it wasn't on that level. But, you know, shout out to them for taking, you know, carrying the torch, taking on, you know, putting it all on their own shoulders. And hopefully we're going to have them at the SplatCon. So I don't want to sound like I'm offending these people. I just wasn't too familiar with what they had going on. So if I had to point at a downfall, That's what I would point at.
I was going to say, Lee Boy, low-key, kind of what you said, in my opinion, kind of proves my point. Because, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Nickelodeon, like you said, wasn't too much in the 80s. Like, most of it is 90s on. So, for somebody your age, yeah, like you said, when you got to that point, you weren't even tuned into those type of things. Yeah, like Jamal said, it's like we kind of were, but we were in high school on our way out. So, I feel like, yeah, from that standpoint and then even moving on now, it's like, yeah, like we have, you know, some of the newer shows and whatnot, they're tying them. But I just feel like overall, they didn't gravitate. Like I said, I felt like as a child, I will go outside and come in and play Nickelodeon. Now kids go outside, do whatever, but nobody's coming and saying, I want to watch Nickelodeon per se. I think that's
Wait, Matt, is it because children nowadays are just different? They watch YouTube videos of people doing stuff. They are watching. My nephew will watch a YouTube video of somebody playing a video game, and he got the same game sitting.
I think that's mental. I got kids, yeah, my family do it too, and I don't understand it. I'm like, why?
Somebody yeah, playing? I got two, same shit.
Yeah, I think it's a generational thing. I think Gen Z or whatever come after Gen Z, they just different. But again, our parents said that about us.
And
video games.
And question, actually, as far as Zoe 101, Victorious, the iCarlys, was there a block of TV similar to SNCC where people would watch that? Because I think that was a huge part, obviously, of the success of the All That, Amanda shows. Even Drake and Josh, I believe, was part of that as well. Stuff. Do you guys know if they were on a block of TV? Was it a certain night? I couldn't tell you, so
I don't know.
It wasn't SNCC, but hey, look, y'all go. They don't know. They wasn't watching, and y'all gonna have to catch the rest of this conversation on Patreon. Just so you know, that's all we got for you right now. But we're gonna continue and give our top three Nickelodeon shows of all time. So if you guys are interested, obviously I'm Leon from All That. So, you know, I got something to say about it. You know what? You know what's top of my list? Actually, it might not be top of the list, but if you want to catch the conversation, catch us on Patreon, 80s, 90s, and 2000 vibes. Fellas, top three. I think we should just give our top three. Or you guys want to go give our number three, give our number two, then give our number one? How do you guys think we should do it?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, everyone give it. Yeah, everyone got their top three ready?
Oh, yeah, I got a top 10. It's hard.
Yeah, maybe you guys want to go top five? We can go fast and do a top five. It's up to you.
Is it live action and cartoon?
Yeah, mix it. Yeah, mix.
This is just the first one. We're going to have many tops.
Yeah, but then I said the same thing. You mixing them, I was like, that's tough. I was like, if I could separate
them. I've been mixing
you guys
them.
You want to do straight live action? We can do top three live action. Since we just talked about live action, let's do live action, y'all. Break your list down right now to live action, top three live action shows, because we want to have some of these people at SplatCon. So we're excited to talk about these shows in particular and have you guys live and in person. Hopefully, you guys are hearing this right now on Patreon. So you guys, I'm talking right now to give y'all time to get y'all list together. Your top three live action shows, real actors, real shows, real people. Performing in front of that camera, because as I mentioned earlier, the Nicktoons, I really don't see a huge drop off. Like you said, SpongeBob was the downfall, but really SpongeBob carried Nickelodeon for years.
Yeah, for sure.
And shows like Avatar, you know, continue to get viewership. And you know, I loved Hey Arnold and a bunch. I could have honestly probably have two Nicktoons in my top three. But let's start off with you, Jamar. We'll go Jamar, Matt, then you, Fidel, and then I'll go last. Let's just give our third favorite live-action Nickelodeon show right now, Jamar. You ready?
Or I got start? Three and three. I got three live and I got three Nicktoons.
We're going to do live-action first. We're going to do live-action first.
Okay. My three live-action. Number three, I got...
No, yeah, just number three. Just number three.
Okay, number three, I got Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Ooh.
That's my number three. I struggle with that because I want
to. If you have it higher on your list, let us know that if you have it higher on your list, okay? If that's on your list, let us know if it's higher on your list because we won't have a discussion about it right now unless it's higher on your list. Does anyone have it?
Drake and Josh.
Ooh, okay.
Drake and Josh, what you got on your number three, Fidel?
I'm going to go with, then this was hard, man, but I'm going to go with Cousin Skeeter.
Woo! That was close. Is that, look, I need to get my list together. That might be my, Nah. That's not gonna be my number three. Actually, for number three, for me, I got my brother and me. So we all have four different in our top three. Fidel, why was that your third favorite show?
Yo, it's so hard to
Cousin Skeeter is fire. Yeah, they got a fire cast. We need a sure, Bill Beverly. Sure. We need a Megan Good, a Robert Rashard. Who else was on that show?
Rondell Sheridan, the father from That's a Raven. Mm-hmm. But I met Bill Bellamy, man. He's super dope. And sometimes the character behind some of these characters adds to that experience from watching. And I just rewatched a couple episodes of that. So it's fresh on my mind. Robert Rashard has also been very kind. So like I'm a little bit biased. But it was so hard to even pick three. I try to go with the three that I feel like might be a little slept on.
Yeah, I actually got them in my top. Cousin Skeeter's in my top four or five. I had them right there. Like I said, I really didn't get my list together, so they could have been, but I just wanted to switch it up for the content. Tell us why you had, what was your number three, Jamar?
Are You Afraid of the Dark? I had my honorable mention. I had Cousin Skeeter at four. The only reason why I picked Are You Afraid of the Dark, bro, is because I fell in love with it first. You know, Cousin Skeeter didn't come around to 98, 99. So, even, bro, it was that or Are You Afraid of the Dark. So, unfortunately, I didn't want to do it, man. I had to go with Are You Afraid of the Dark, bro.
Just, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that was the show for me, bro. That was the show me and my sister used to watch at night. You know, on Saturday, just popcorn. You know, it ain't too scary now, but you know, when you 5'6", that shit scary as hell, man.
Like you said, just the way the wooden, yeah, everything, the lead has definitely had the
allure. Right. Yeah, facts. Are You Afraid
of the Dark? No, they just revived it though with a movie, and the movie was pretty good. Like they're still keeping that going.
I gotta rewatch that. I heard about that. I gotta watch that.
What movie?
It got Joseph Sikora from Power in it, but it's a Are You Afraid of the Dark movie. You know, they brought a couple things back, like Legends of Hidden Temple, Dora. They all got movies recently.
They aren't a movie they remade was good. I'm not even going to lie.
I got to check
out. I just want to throw this out there, though. Yeah, like I said, so the reason I chose Drake and Josh is kind of going back to what Jamal was mentioning earlier, kind of the time it came out. So 2004 for me, in the interest of this list, because, you know, we're giving our top one, Drake and Josh would be last because that was my exiting, I guess, from Nickelodeon. But I like this slightly more than the Amanda show, so that was why I gave it. I was gonna take three, honestly, over them. But I was like, this had more repeatability than they remember. That launched iCarly too, and in my opinion, Drake and Josh was just still the best of all three of those. So,
now Drake and Josh really like it was kind of the Amanda Show perfected a little bit, and then they took it was kind of the same thing where they took Kenan and Kel from all that. They got Drake and Josh, obviously, from the Amanda Show, and I think they were actually a very formidable duo. In the Nickelodeon hemisphere, for sure. Like, they killed it. And the comedy was dope for them. Nah, they were cool.
Nah, man, they always seem like they have issues in the media with each other.
They do got that. I mean, one of them going through some
Drake, yeah.
Nah, we don't want to hit it, dog. Y'all, whatever the problem is, get over it. Y'all fix that, man. For real.
Life has changed a lot since then.
Yeah, man, for sure.
That's cool and all, but y'all squash that, man. Do it for the culture, man.
In fact, hey, we need to try to get them back for SplatCon. But I had My Brother and Me. Obviously, there's the one iconic episode. It's not just one, but you hit me.
Hit me.
Hey, what happened? You got
louder.
And then Goo Punch. Hey, that's one of them episodes. Goo Punch. He's one of the first rappers on Nickelodeon, right? Mm-hmm. People, hey, I swear, I get approached not all the time, but if I say I'm from Nickelodeon, a lot of times people be like, "Oh, Goo, you was Goo." I wasn't Goo Punch.
Kind of racist.
But even back then, though, I was like a little pudgy. We kind of, you know, I was younger than him, I think. But some years after, I kind of took on some of the same characteristics as Goo. And so there was there go Goo right there. So I had a couple Goo years. But then, you know, you got Amanda Seals on that show, Kim Whitley. I'm looking at the list right now. Obviously, Arthur Reggie. Shout out to the L.A. native. And so many people. Dennis Scott was on that show, was the coach. They definitely had a pulse of the culture. But it was only, what, one season? I think only one.
Yeah, I think it was only one. Yeah,
which is wrong. Either it was at the most two. That is just wrong. But you know, every single episode, it was similar to a, let's say, a Family Matters, or you know, I wouldn't go as far as Fresh Prince, but they definitely had some real type topics that they touched on as far as race and different things like that. That was dope. So I always appreciated
Moesha. Maybe, do you think it was like Moesha style? Maybe a little bit.
Yep. I will put a Moesha, yeah, because even the dad remind you of Frank, didn't he?
Frank,
kind of square,
like, same haircut.
Yeah, yeah. And that was, look, that was Jim R. Coleman. Shout out to Jim R. Coleman, man, was killing it. You know, remind me of good, all that stuff. Look, I might have to put them on my list. But what y'all got next? Ooh, I mean, we only got two more slots, so it's two big shows out there. What y'all got at number two?
Who going? Who want to go?
It's going. It be starting with you, Jamar.
Kenan and Kel, man.
There you go.
The best.
Kenan and Kel. Anybody got higher on their list?
No, I have it exact same spot. I got Kenan and Kel at two as well.
My bad, dog. My bad, player. The best comedy duo in Nickelodeon history.
Undeniable.
I don't know what else to say, bro. Good Burger. Two black kids, they met each other. I read Kenan's book too, and he told me how what he told me on trip. In a book, he said how him and Kel just had this natural chemistry. You know, they met each other, especially the original season of All That. How, of course, they were the only two black males on the show, and at first, you know, black kids are sometimes too cool for school. You see another black kid, instead of being friendly, just hitting with it. What's up? You know what I'm saying? Like that. Nah, he said him and Kel did it to each other at first when they first met each other. The rest is history, man. They didn't talk for some years, but everything good now. Good Burger too. Yeah, Kenan and Kel, man. Kenan and Kel. The only reason why I've gotten number one is for obvious reasons, which I'm gonna tell y'all like a little bit later. So, you know, shout out to Kenan and Kel.
What you got, Matt? You had Kenan and Kel as well. What did it mean to you?
Kind of like I said, more so going back to similar with that Drake and Josh thing. I look at the point of my life, and I remember, like, even when Videl mentioned Cousin Skeeter, reason Cousin Skeeter wasn't higher on my list is because the timing when it came out, it was like, Brandon, Kenan and Kel wasn't super long lived neither, but my siblings, them being older, that's what helped me really get into Kenan and Kel and really appreciate and understand. Plus, just coming of age, I was like, all right. And then seeing Kenan doing more of, you know, other shows and whatnot from here, because I'm a huge SNL fan. Like, I remember being waking up at Saturday watching that. So just part of my life kind of just kept going on. But yeah, I think, like you said, they just kind of mastered that, two guys coming from, you know what I mean, the sketch comedy show and bringing it to pretty much the best points. But yeah.
What you had at number two, Fidel?
So I love day number two. I actually was contemplating putting Kenan and Kel there. Then I thought if I threw All That in there, it would kind of like throw Kenan and Kel to the bone, considering it's part of the cast. But for my number two, I went with Taina, actually.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, Jimmy being Hispanic, that was a show that really helped put on. And then I grew up listening to freestyle music. So Lisa playing the mom, that was dope. Yeah, man, Taina had a go for my people with that one.
And I feel like my brother and me, that they only gave, like, I feel like a year, maybe two seasons. They just didn't get enough time to grow. Yeah.
That was that Teen Nick block, man. That was that after school Teen Nick block. Taina, Brothers Garcia, else, man? Eddie McDowell.
Yeah, a lot of years.
See, Eddie McDowell. I forgot about that.
Eddie McDowell, bro.
Oh, so, bro.
And they came his way. They had a lot of shows.
Yeah. And bro, when I tell you I'm in the trenches with you when it comes to Nickelodeon, bro.
Yeah.
Like, bro. So that 2000, 2001, 02, around that time, that was a good time in Nickelodeon, for Nickelodeon fans too. So.
And that might be a way for us too to organize the SplatCon too, Fidel, is just throw like the real blocks on, like, you know what I'm saying? Throw somebody from Eddie McDowell, Taina, and Brothers Garcia all just on one stage and be like, look, we got the whole Nickelodeon block, we got the SNCC block. Ooh, we gotta think about that.
Yeah.
Facts. Teen Nick.
Teen
Nick? No.
Yeah,
Degrassi. Oh, Teen Nick, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Degrassi?
Yeah, that used to be on Teen Nick, man. That was, I watched.
Is that on Nickelodeon?
Did y'all watch Unfabulous? No.
I wasn't a fan.
Wait, Degrassi was on Nickelodeon?
On Teen Nick.
For a on Team Nick, yeah.
But what did it start off? What network did it start off on?
It's from Canada.
I remember. Oh, so it was Nickelodeon. Okay, for real.
Talking to me. It was all.
I kind of missed that.
Are You Afraid of the Dark? Is a Canada, is a producer too, Canada too. So, yeah, I think it was on Team Nick for a little while.
No, so what's crazy is I really didn't watch Nickelodeon too much, especially after I got on there. Sometimes I just didn't have cable, I don't think. I just wasn't able to catch it, I swear. I just wasn't watching it that much. So I was, you know, my number two is actually Clarissa Explains It All. I was watching that, I believe, before I got on all that. My Brother and Me, probably a little bit after. What year was My Brother and Me? That was like
94.
Oh, so that was before too. I got on. So yeah. So these, I used to watch it before I actually was on the show. I might have been also busy. I was doing plays and moving around a lot, so it wasn't a lot of time for me to watch TV.
Lee Boy, was it like? Man, I worked that.
Yeah, I didn't really watch the shows. I didn't watch myself too much either. Like, unless I was just sitting down, nothing to do. I was like, okay, don't know, it's about to come on. But a lot of times, I was trying to get involved in something or doing something else, you know, dancing, rapping. I was doing plays and stuff at the same time as well. But Clarissa, goddamn Roger, when he used to, well, that was her brother name, right? They used to always hop in the window. And then, oh no, that was her homie that used to hop in the window from around.
Bro, her parents are horrible.
Yeah. How you gonna let some...
He just come in your daughter room anytime with a ladder.
An older boy, right? An older, like,
yeah, man, you know,
seems so normal in the 90s, though, because I ain't gonna lie. Think about how many movies and shows we used to really see people just climbing up ladders, like, niggas wasn't scared. Oh,
Clarissa window was popping, I would have been up there for sure. Man,
Roger from Sister, baby, all the time.
That's what
bro.
I was thinking. Roger was the next door neighbor. I can't remember who her little Ferguson. Ferguson, yeah. I was saying Roger. It was Ferguson, her little brother, that was always doing something crazy that was funny.
You know he beat then, though. He been up there too many times. He beat, bro.
Yeah, the neighbor. Yeah, come on, man. Yeah, the fresh haircut coming up the ladder. Come on, man. I would have been up there too. Come on, Clarissa. But no, that was my show because she was just super relatable. Melissa Joan Hart, and she took over the entire show. As a child actor, like she was a star. Like she could take on a whole show, take on a whole set, and she later became a producer, director, and ran up the ranks in Nickelodeon and did very well outside of Nickelodeon also as well. But she was just a natural born star and definitely an inspiration to me as a child actor. Like this is how you take over a whole show as far as a sitcom. She did that damn thing. So I was definitely, that was my number two show. Number one, I mean, you know what I'm pick. I ain't gonna say it first. Jamar, what you got at number one, bro?
Man, come on, man.
Not
quite live, but ready for prime time. Be ready, get set. It's all that, man. Come on, that's the if you want to say the babies, Rugrats is the best Nickelodeon show, or even SpongeBob. Man, look, bro, I can't get mad at you. But to me, it's all that, bro. Like it is, bro. This is again, being a kid of minority, seeing other kids that look like you, bro. That does a lot for you, bro. Confidence, especially because I've lived growing up in the projects, bro. Not having much, seeing black kids on TV, or just kids of color on TV, like, bro. That's what's up, bro. That's what's up. So it's all that for me, and the fact that all those other shows spawn from all that. Amanda Show, Kenan and Kel from all that. iCarly, Drake and Josh.
Yep.
Victorious, all that come from all that. Like it's like it's child, bro. So it's undisputed for me. All that, it's not even close.
And I mean, to put an asterisk on it, and Dan Schneider. So yeah, we're gonna be talking about him later on in the year. But Dan Schneider is a big part of all that creation. But it is what it is.
And yo, you have experiences with him? Like you used to work one on one with him.
One on one? Hell no! I mean, you know, solo.
Not to that extent. But I'm saying, like, you know how sometimes you'll never meet the boss at corporate.
He wasn't teaching me no moves in the paint. Nah. I really didn't have too much one on one time with Schneider. Although, you know, we did look up to him. We definitely wanted his approval when it came to, you know, getting some places in these skits. He was the guy to go to. He was what with the kid? He was one of the kids, right?
Really?
You gonna have to check out my doc, but the doc is coming out soon. Especially look, and we'll be talking about it more on Patreon. So if you're here right now, make sure you keep your subscription because I will be dropping more and more tea on Dan Schneider throughout the year.
That was a great question. I'm so happy he asked that because it was like my mouth was quiet, but my eyes
one on one. Nope. But I can tell you right now, no one on ones. All right, no solo.
Nah, but he was active on set though. You were seeing when you go into work.
Yeah, he was active. Yeah. He was active. He was definitely interacting with the cast members, and was never saw nothing like definitely somebody you wanted to impress on set. I just leave it right there. You wanted to make sure that he was satisfied, you know.
Seemed like just hot, rub the shoulders if you're a little too tense, you know what I mean, just to get you a little relaxed. That type of deal.
Just hide your feet, man. That's what I heard.
My feet was covered. I'm good.
Just hide your feet, dog. Oh, yeah, that's some freak shit.
Right. He came to work laughing. He's like, I ain't stressed. Yeah, I'm good.
Man, Lee Boy, a black kid, bro. I think black kids are universal. Goddamn, man, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I was safe. Yeah, my mom was right there. I was good. All right, come on, Matt, Matt, what you had at number one?
Number one, honestly, I went with the obvious, all that, but I just throw this out there too because, like, kind of how I mentioned with SpongeBob. I feel like obviously, boy, like we knew about you, but generally speaking, I remember all that Once Upon a Time. It got to a point because the show, if I'm not mistaken, went from like 94 to 2020, just in different, you know, sectors. I'm more of a fan of beginning parts of all that. But yeah, when it got to some of these brand new episodes, it's not that it lost me, but it just seemed like the skits weren't, they just didn't seem like they were really set in like foundation. Like, and I've done like extensive like research, like Lori Beth Denberg. We've covered her with Comedy Hype and like, you know, some people that you guys have had on the show. And when you hear their stories and their journeys, it's like, it makes more sense why the show was as successful as it was back then. Cause it was like, no, you had people who really cared about their craft. And it's like, when they weren't doing all of that, they was doing little talent shows, you know what I mean? They talent and whatnot. So yeah, I think that's definitely the undisputed number one, but I just want to throw out there just cause this was a dope show to me too. Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide. And a lot of people, it had its moment in time. Obviously, we know the podcast
I'm with
numbers now, but back then
it was good.
I was elite.
Y'all heard the admission old girl just came out with. Oh yeah, we talked about it, right? She was just throwing her mouth around to the whole cast. Yeah,
yeah. Mose was giving it.
You fucked me up when you said.
Yeah, I didn't know. I don't know anything about her. She was just like, yeah, I just gave him some head. I'm like, oh, I was on the wrong cast.
One of those men. Where was I?
Yeah. I didn't get the audition. No audition sheet. What you have to ask number one, Fidel?
I got the Brothers Garcia.
Okay.
That's the only real Latin representation we even had on Nickelodeon. So
That show gave me Pete and Pete vibes. Like, I guess it was the narration that they would do.
Let's talk about that. Narrated by John Leguizamo. That's legendary.
Facts.
They need to Pete and Pete, so I can't. I don't know.
I mean, whenever you get a chance, look up a YouTube clip of Pete and Pete, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Like, oh, I see what he mean. It do give me Brother Garcia vibes, like just because Pete and Pete, the events of Pete and Pete got narration throughout the episode, just like Brother Garcia. It just I always like those type of shows, you know what I'm saying?
Like Malcolm in the Middle.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna say Brothers Garcia, I feel like now this was the time when they finally gave it the amount of years. Cause I feel like in my opinion, most Nickelodeon shows at least 3 years to really we could say, hey, this was dominant or this was trash. Yeah, when I look at even some of the classics, most of them only last 3 or 4 years. So when you give a show one, to me, it's kind of trash. Because like, man, was the budget really, you know what I mean, that big of a deal where you couldn't at least see it through the second season just to see if it was even worth it? Because, yeah, like even when he mentioned Taina, I like Taina, but yeah.
Because I was salty about Taina, bro.
Episodes I feel like we had and we should have episodes. It was like, man, remember when they talked about racism? Or remember when they did this such and such? Remember this holiday one? I just don't get that feel. So yeah, I think that's a good one.
And the budget had to be high on Taina. They had fucking 3LW on the first season. And this one, 3LW was high.
No, they had and Destiny's Child too.
Fire, bro. Give it another season.
It makes you wonder, did Nickelodeon already just have the, you know what I mean, the relationships? Because with all that and obviously,
Viacom.
You know. They had a bunch of people coming
through. They did because of Viacom. Viacom owned MTV. Oh, right, that's right. That's why all of them sponsors coming through.
Yep.
There you go.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And then I had all that at my number one as well. I mean, even before I was on there, so I had to vote for myself for sure. But even before I was on there, I mean, that's what drew me to Nickelodeon, because I was naturally more drawn to Friday or some real ghetto hood movies. Like, that's what I was actually more watching. But when it came to all that, you know what I'm saying? So it was interesting because it did have that silly comedy, kind of that white boy comedy, but they had Urban Faces doing it. So I really, it was very universal to me. And then of course they have a very, you know, a multiracial cast. So I always love to see that. And then, I mean, best of all was the live performances. So my next question to everyone, favorite, all that live performance that you can think of just off the top of your head. I don't even got mine yet.
Yeah, actually,
I do. I'm gonna start off. Oh, you got L. Ooh, L. Cool J was fire. Yep, yep.
I got Lounge. That's mine.
L. Cool J.
I'm gonna go with Q.
We be clubbing. Hey, if you watch that, I had a couple people in the audience. My whole little front section was all the homies and homegirls. They was clubbing. They Cube was coming. Yeah, I was like, Cube coming, specifically my homegirl, Shaylia. Shaylia, you can look up her music. She's still doing music to this day. In fact, she just performed at Sundance Music Festival, or the Film Festival, Sundance Film Festival. But she does music, and she was like front row getting down. We was clown dancers together. She was doing a little crit walk, little sea walk. That's what we was doing. Sure. And Brian Robbins' son, I think, got up on the stage and kind of crit walked. Like, yeah, little Jewish sea walk. I was like, damn.
That's crazy.
Oh, do you have a favorite, Matt?
Honestly, I was trying to look up to see specifically. I just remember Usher, and the only reason, because like I said, being young, Usher's My Way. That was the first CD I personally ever bought for myself. So yeah, when Usher came on the show, that was big. Like, obviously, I just remember more so just seeing the cameos. Like, I remember like Kobe and them coming up, but I just remember during that part, because y'all know commercials back then. For some reason, when they'd be like, "Man, musical guests coming to the stage," if I had to run to the bathroom, I'm hurrying up and doing it. 5 minutes in between this last commercial break and the next show coming on. So depending on what it was, obviously it's zipping out. But man, Usher, you remember that one?
Go ahead. No, you get
that's it. What I always appreciated about all of that, because when it was going to commercial break, like you said, they'll let you know when we come back from commercial break, such and such will be performing live. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they gave you time to go use the restroom, go grab something. I always appreciated that, because bro, it wasn't no streaming, son. So if you missed it, man, you just fucked. Pause.
Fidel, who you got?
Yeah, cute. Yeah,
oh yeah, you said Cube. Yeah. So look, not going like so. I'll say being there, I definitely have a favorite guest that showed up. It would be Shaq. Like, that's not my favorite musical guest, but like to see him in person, and he came up there and he performed. But you know, even Britney Spears and NSYNC, they came up there and performed during my years. I would say my number one, you know, is Lauryn Hill. You know,
oh, she showed up. She
was actually at the Hollywood Bowl. She didn't show up. She probably was supposed to show up to our. She probably was supposed to show up to the set, and she ended up doing it live from the Hollywood Bowl. And this is on the 100th episode. Oh, but shit. I was, you know, this was during her, hey, you know, her prime. But she would have did the same shit today, right? It didn't matter if it was her prime or not, really. So she ain't gonna show up. But, you know, I'm just still a huge fan of her, and I just think she's incredible, at least, especially at that time. So that was my favorite for sure.
For some reason, I remember Sammy performance. I don't know why. Like,
Sammy was hella cool. I love Sammy. I remember kicking it with Sammy, and he had a dope performance. I mean, there's so many people. Deborah Cox. I mean, JD was there. Wyclef Jean, Destiny's Child, and actually, I'm looking at a top 20 list right now. Y'all know Nas did Street Dreams there, right?
Which was great. There was a few ones on there like that I saw. I'm like, man, I was like, this is the edited versions.
we be clubbing, bro. Man, yeah, look,
look, Before we get out of here, I'm gonna break down the top 20 list. And Fidel, I think we should try to get as many of these artists as we could as FlatCon. Imagine if we had a whole all that set. But the Brat for all y'all, TLC Creep, Aaliyah, Aging Number to Number. That's top. That should have been your top, Jamar. 702 and Missy Elliott, Stilo, 112, Love Me, Nas, Street Dreams, Monica, Angel of Mine, Mace, Feel So Good. That was the big one. I got a picture with Mace, and that was dope. Spice Girls, I forgot. Spice Ooh, Up Your Life. Man, was there.
Crazy.
We probably did Spice Boys that day, too. So that was crazy. Destiny's Child, No, No, No. Salt and Pepper, Are You Ready? Deborah Cox, Somebody's Supposed to Be Here. Maya, Moving On. Outkast, Rosa Parks.
Even that, was that there? Song to have on a kid's show. I mean, I like it. I ain't mad
bro,
at it.
Bro, this show unmatched, bro.
Bring it all to me. NSYNC, Bye Bye Bye. That's crazy. Usher, I don't know. Diddy did his song Diddy. City High was there. What Would You Do?
Whoa.
That's big. They actually put that as number one, I think. City High.
City High.
That ain't number one over like
that was probably the biggest thing at the time. Even Deborah Cox, like when you said that, I'm thinking like that's huge for her to be.
Bro, Spice Girls and NSYNC, Bye Bye Bye. That's crazy. That's like an awards show like type status. Spice Girls and Spice Up Your Life. But yeah, so all that, I think to me, that's why it has to be number one. It's really not even all about the cast and the talent, although it spawned all these shows that are clearly great, the musical guests that were there and what they pulled off, they was paying these people, man. They had a hell of a business model that they were going after. Obviously, it's patterned after, and Living Color and a Saturday Night Live. All that is just, it is what it is. Happy to be a part about it. But fellas, happy to be part of it, excuse me. Fellas, tell everybody what you got going on, your socials, starting with Fidel. Welcome to 80s, 90s, and 2005s. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, so I appreciate y'all having me, man. But it's Nick at 90s. You know what I mean? 90s is numbers and numerals. Besides that, check out SplatCon at the SplatCon. We're bringing that to y'all soon. A Nickelodeon-themed convention. First time it's ever been done. Gonna have tons of stars there, tons of activities, tons of different things you can get into, vendors, cards, everything, Nick magazines, anything you could think of Nickelodeon, it'll be there. So definitely follow me on those two social media.
Wait, say that again. You just broke up. Just follow you where? Say it one more time.
Oh, Nick at 90s and the SplatCon.
Perfect, perfect. The SplatCon on Instagram. We might even have a slime dunk tank, right? Hey, somebody gonna have to get slimed out here.
We will.
Yeah, you got to get slime. I'm willing to get slime. I'm going to put that out there. Just once. Right. Once I'm slime, once you slime, you can keep going, right? That's on slime. Sure, right. Shout out to Free Thug. Matt.
Tell y'all know, y'all can follow me as usual, Real Matt Corbin on all platforms. Obviously, keep following me, YouTube, Instagram. I post videos daily. Obviously, part of the dopest podcast network in Atlanta. Like they said, stay tuned for SplatCon there now on every platform. Yeah. It's going to be a dope, dope con coming soon to a fall near you.
Yep. And what you got, Jamar? Hey,
follow me on Instagram at Jamar Joseph, Jermaine Adams. If you're sensitive, don't follow me. But most importantly, follow us at 80s, 90s, 2000 Vibes on TikTok, Instagram. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow 90s con. I mean, Nick con. Follow that. You know what I'm saying? Like they said, bro. Support, man. Thank y'all for joining this Patreon exclusive episode. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, man, for that, happy to have you, man. Let's get it.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, man. It's a pleasure to be part of the team.
Yeah, and I am Lee Boy TV, LeeBoyTV.com, TheSplatCon.com. Make sure you follow that on Instagram and also check out our website live now. We're going to be coming to LA in November, so we need everybody to show up and let us know who you want to see at the convention. That's what we're asking right now on TheSplatCon.com. Go ahead and let us know who you want to see. Like everybody other than me. I know y'all want Lee Boy to be there. I'm going to be there as well as 80s, 90s, and 2000 Vibes. This was a Patreon exclusive, and we'll be out.